Sunday mornings at Yellowknife Vineyard.
Or Sunday school rooms today, but parents are welcome to use the rooms if you need to or if you want to. They're open, so you can go there with your children if you choose to do that. Okay? And again, maybe you can give another round of applause for the kids. I think they did a great job. Thank you. And thank you for all the teachers that have been helping us over the weeks, and the practice, and the dress rehearsal yesterday, and the media team as well. Thank you for all that you guys do. Today we're talking about joy, and as I believe it was Lizzie said earlier today that today is the third Sunday of Advent, and our focus is on joy. If you haven't been with us over the last few weeks, we are journeying. The star has been our guide, and we're journeying to Christmas, remembering the four themes of the Advent season, which is love, peace, joy, and hope. Yes, there you go. Sorry, I'm a little bit all over the place today. My mind is all over the place, so I apologize for that. As we continue to follow this star towards Christmas, as we talk about joy today, joy is often misunderstood. It often is confused with happiness. But happiness and joy are different things. Have you ever noticed in the scripture, we talked about it today when I was reading the book, you guys saw the angels come, right? So we saw that the angels came to, anybody remember who the angels came to? Yeah? Mary, yeah, the three wise men, yeah?
The shepherds.
Right. So they come to all of these people, the angels come to them, but do we know what happens with every single person? How do they feel when the angels come?
They're afraid.
Good job. Yes. Every time the angels come, the people that the angels are visiting are afraid. I don't know if you remember the first week that I preached, I talked about how the star is only mentioned a couple times in the whole Bible. The Star of Bethlehem. You know, it's mentioned more often that people are afraid when the angels come to them than the Star of Bethlehem. And there's something to it. Those shepherds gave us a particularly good picture of the experience. Now, back in the day, shepherds were rugged men. They weren't cowards. They weren't afraid. Does anybody know what sometimes shepherds have to scare away? What do they scare away? Yes, Alex? Fox and wolves, yes. Anything else? Yeah? We can't? But yeah. Yeah?
Zeke?
Bears? Yeah. These men were shepherds. They were looking after their flocks. And they had to defend their flocks from a lot of different dangerous things. And they were not afraid. As soon as they saw a danger to their flock, they would jump into action. But it's interesting to see that that night, even though there was a group of them, there was many of them, the Bible says, sitting together, the angels came, and they all were afraid. The angel had good news for these guys. News that would cause great joy for all the people. The angel and his group came in peace with the world's greatest birth announcement, but first he had to help the shepherds get over their fear. And then after he told them the good news, suddenly the whole sky was filled with angels, and they all erupted with joy. Luke continued, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests.'" I want to start with all this because as we journey with the star today, as we do, I want us to walk through the three aspects of joy. The first is that joy and pain coexist. Joy brings us connections with others. And the last one is that joy leads us to worship. The first one is joy and pain coexist. Has anybody ever seen those commercials where you have companies that help villages that don't have any water dig a well? Has anybody even seen that? Yeah. Thank you for raising your hand. And we always see those commercials, and the company comes, and they help the community dig a well. And what happens when the water starts to flow? Does anybody remember what they've seen? They start dancing, yes. I didn't catch what you said over there. They're screaming. Would everybody agree that there's joy in the community? There is joy, right? When the water comes, there is joy. They always see the smiling faces of people. The kids start to play with the water, and it really does look like pure joy. Even though many aspects of their lives don't change, even though they still have to cope with the hardships and pain, they are filled with joy because the clean water impacts every part of their lives, bringing safety, health, and opportunity. It's a strange thing about joy. It seems a natural reaction for most of us to think of joy can only come when pain is removed. But the truth is, in our fallen world, joy and pain exist side by side. In fact, there is really no way to separate them. Our lives are constantly balancing of joy and pain as we walk through the experiences of life. It is often the pain or struggle that magnifies the power of joy. And it is here that the message of the angel is for us as well. Do not be afraid. There's the message of the angel. Do not be afraid. What circumstances in your life are causing you to fear? What do you feel afraid of? Where is the pain of life seeming to overshadow the presence of joy? What feels like it is spinning out of control? Those places are exactly where the words of the angel can penetrate the most deeply and powerfully. The message is for you. Do not be afraid. Do not have fear. There is good news of great joy, and it is for you, and it is for me, and it's for all of us. The Bible book that bears his name, James, takes this concept a step further, where he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything." That's James 1, 2-4. So, does that mean that facing trials is pure joy? It might not be. That sounds contradictory, but it isn't a suggestion that you fake it and slap a smile on your deep pain of life. It is an encouragement that even in the midst of hardship, there is a longer, broader view, a perspective that shows us that our trials can lead us to grow and become mature in faith. And while growing isn't easy, it can be filled with joy. As we walk in our relationship with God, we can grow to experience a sense of joy that comes from understanding there is more than the pain we're facing. There is a deeper reality at work. There is an unseen source of life flowing within us that we can nourish and refresh and cleanse and renew us. What exactly does joy look like and feel like in our daily lives and reality? We're getting there. Joy and connection. So as we talked about those images and pictures of the communities when they receive water, picture that in your mind. Do you ever see somebody by themselves on the side? Think about those pictures. I think it's hard to see anybody alone there. There isn't just one person who's super excited, filled with joy. It's the whole village. They see it's true about the good news of Christ at Christmas. The good news of great joy is for all people. Life-giving joy means a bubble over a touch others to help. The fact that Jesus came gives us joy. But there is more joy to come with his second coming. The psalmist conveyed a reasoning, resonating joy in Psalm 96 that says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound, and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Let all the trees and the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes." Psalm 96, 11-13. Fear and pain can isolate us, but joy brings connection. And the joy of Jesus coming goes out into all the earth, connecting us to himself and to each other. joy and worship. So what is our response to joy? What do we do when joy interrupts our everyday lives and sets up camp alongside the mundane and the painful? How do we live in the balance of joy and pain until Jesus comes again? How do we foster and experience this joy that is offered to us? Sometimes it's easy to embrace joy. Sometimes our struggles and hurts are so overwhelming that we're trapped and bound by our fear. Joy can feel so far away, so distant, maybe impossible. The Bible shows us that the appropriate response to joy is always worship. I would suggest that worship can help us jumpstart joy as we fix our eyes on God and His greater reality, that rather than on the immediate problems or the fears that we're facing in the moment. In the Christmas story, the angel announced the good news with great joy, and the entire host praised God. The shepherds immediately went to see the baby Jesus. They worshipped him, and they left telling everyone they met about what they saw. Think about all that for a minute. What might it have looked like? Shepherds breaking into song? Wise, dressed sages kneeling and bowing or praying aloud? As they let God's message of joy penetrate and sweep away their fear, they were drawn joyfully towards God Himself. It drew them in and lifted them up into God's life-giving flow of joy. Now, there's a lot of debates about when the Magi or the three wise men came, but there's also accounts of them worshiping once they met baby Jesus. So the shepherds broke into worship. The Magi and the wise men broke into worship. When we experience joy, when we let all those other things, we put that all aside for a minute, and we remember why Jesus came, and we feel that joy, we normally break into worship. They did, and so can we. You might be sitting there today thinking, that's all great, but I'm not experiencing any joy in my life, and that's okay. I get it. The brokenness of our fallen world stands at odds with Christ's joy. And in this life on earth, we straddle the tension of our physical and spiritual realities. And this season, this is about good news and great joy that leads to connection and worship. It can also be a very difficult and lonely time for many of us. So what can you do when you find yourself there? I encourage you to step up into the journey in three ways. First, take time to connect with others. Your joy can be contagious. And just like the angels were messengers who spread the word, the joy in the various humans and friends, we can do the same. We can connect with friends or loved ones, or we can connect with a complete stranger. We can spark and bring joy. The second thing, take time and make the choice to be purposely thankful. Gratitude, it's a way for us to remember that we can be joyful. The third and final one is, let's worship God for who He is. The circumstances in our lives might take us away from worship, but when we come and worship together, let us worship Him for who He is and for what He has done for us. Again, the three things for you to do. Take time to connect with others. Be purposely thankful. And worship Him. We will continue our journey to Christmas and open our hearts to the God of the universe who came to earth so that we could live in relationship with Him and experience the joy that He brings. I hope that today, as the children shared with you what they've been practicing, that maybe you got to experience a little bit of joy. That maybe it helped you remember that God is here with us and that He is coming again. And as we remember that He was born, that you will experience a little more joy. I'm hoping that the kids brought you a little closer to that. And as we continue to worship together, as the worship team will come up and we'll sing together, we want to remember that. We want to draw closer to being closer to Him and closer to one another. I have a prayer here, so pray with me. God, thank you for the good news of great joy that is for everyone.
that your Son, Jesus, has come to save us. Please help us to experience joy alongside the pain of life and to respond to joy in worship. Draw us to yourself as we draw near to Christmas, and let us be a source of joy to others in this season and every season. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you can join us next week. Have a blessed week.